This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Well, our listeners have been responding on the Issues Etc. comment line to several things we've been talking about lately here on Issues Etc. That comment line, 618-223-8384 for you, our listeners, anytime, whether you're listening live or on demand, you can respond with questions, comments, show suggestions. We love to hear the criticism as well, 618-223-8384. Let's begin with a comment from an interview lately with Pastor Charles Lehman. We were talking about the Casey Anthony verdict and the Eighth Commandment against bearing false witness.
This is Paul in Milwaukee calling in about the Luther Large Catechism quote part of the informative and thoughtful program dealing with the Casey Anthony trial and the Eighth Commandment this on Wednesday. I understand Luther from this book, which Lutherans believe is a correct exposition of the scripture, that Christians should keep silent to God-given authority about observed civil wrongs or criminal acts of their neighbors. Luther does seem to say narrowly here that there are unnamed offices for sin-confronting Christians to exercise in some unstated way. All other things being equal, Paul not sending his nephew to Roman authority about criminal conspiracy might have led to a different ending of the book of Acts. I confess to an impish thought of a Mark McGuire-style asterisk and apologetic footnote in a new St. Louis Concordia Publishing House edition of the Large Catechism on this point. But that might open floodgates. Thanks for listening.
He's making reference to a quote from Luther from the Large Catechism. There are two catechisms Luther wrote, the Small and the Large Catechism. Both are part of the Lutheran Confessions, and that means both ought to bind those who call themselves Lutherans in what they believe, teach, and confess. Luther there talks about when you observe your neighbor sinning, you are not permitted to publicly judge or admonish him unless it's your office to do so. He says it's one thing to see your neighbor sinning. It's another thing to publicly admonish or go out and talk to others about it. Now, he's speaking against gossip, and he says when you see something like this happening, you should put it in the grave of whatever you see, whatever you hear. Your ear should become a grave. Bury it and say no more until it is your office to either judge or admonish. He's not talking about privately judging or admonishing your neighbor for his sins, and he's not talking about crimes. He's not talking about someone who, say you observe a murder, you should just say, ah, that's man's sin, is none of my business. By no means. There, it is your office as a citizen, as a neighbor to those victims of that crime to report it to who? The right authorities, who do have the authority from God to judge and admonish and punish for that sin. You see how it all works together when you know your vocation and you can make the distinction between publicly rebuking a sin, judging a sin, admonishing or punishing a sin, and privately admonishing your brother for a sin, and the distinction between your sins and the sins of your neighbor and crimes committed against your neighbor. We'll be right back.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
How many Bible studies have companion Issues Etc. audio?
Dr. Ken Sherb on our Book of the Month for July, The Christian's Mission.
The Christian's Mission takes you in 9 sessions through an overview of your mission as a Christian centering in the grace of God in Christ. A great alternative to a lot of quote-unquote missional thinking out there.
Order The Christian's Mission by calling 1-800-325-3040 or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Christian's Mission.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Primetime Propaganda.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
A recent episode of the ABC show Private Practice seemed more like an infomercial for Planned Parenthood than a TV drama. When a character on the show seeks a late-term abortion, the main character, Dr. Addison Montgomery, is all too eager to provide it. This is no surprise, as Dr. Montgomery is played by actress Kate Walsh, an avid pro-abortion advocate. By the end of the show, the pro-abortion side prevails. Not only is the patient successfully talked into having the abortion, but one of Dr. Montgomery's pro-life colleagues also comes to see the supposed necessity of partial birth abortions.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Hello, it's me.
Welcome back to Issues Etc., hearing some of your comments and responding from the Issues Etc. comment line. I'm Todd Wilkin. Time for one more comment on our open lines discussion recently, asking the question, is there a Christian position on raising the debt ceiling?
This is Mike in Strasbourg calling in response to the recent discussions on whether there is a Christian position on raising the debt ceiling. Without a specific thus saith the Lord, it is difficult to give a specific answer. But one ought to look at the concept of vocation. God declares that the vocation of the government is to punish evil and reward good, 1 Peter 2 and Romans 13. We see throughout Scripture that it is the vocation of individuals to tend to the needs of the poor, the widow, and the orphan. Even the text of the Constitution declares that the purpose of the U.S. government is to promote the general welfare. One way to promote it is to pay for it outright by compulsory giving, also called taxes. Another way to promote the general welfare is to encourage citizens to fulfill their individual vocations of charity. Everyone who has ever helped with a youth group soup supper knows that you get more by making it a free will donation rather than having a set price. Sure, some will take advantage and get their meal for a buck or two, but many will contribute far above what you would have compelled them to by charging a fixed price. Every spring, the media published the tax returns of prominent politicians. Following up on one such story, I compared my Form 1040 with that of one of these career politicians. Those gentlemen and his wife paid nearly twice as much in taxes as I make in my salary in a year. Their Schedule A deductions for charitable contributions were several hundred dollars less than the far too paltry sum that I found on my own Form 1040. While I cannot ascribe a specific motive to this particular politician, how many in this country feel that their duty to the poor and the needy has been completed with the paying of taxes? Ebenezer Scrooge, when asked for a contribution to feed the poor, cried out, "Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses?" How many Americans would similarly exclaim, "Is there not Medicare? Is there not Social Security? My taxes go toward these. Bother me no longer." In our modern American society, it is the government that feeds the poor, cares for the sick, tends to the elderly, and educates the young. It is the government that compels you to give to its charitable works through the paying of taxes. And in my home state of Illinois, it is the government, through the Prevailing Wage Act, that makes it illegal for you to volunteer in the public sector unless the government pays you union wages for your volunteerism. It is this "the government should do it" attitude that has contributed to the astronomical debt this country is in and our need to raise the debt ceiling. I think we would all be better off if instead of the government fulfilling my vocation for me, it reminded me of what my vocation with respect to my neighbor was and removed its self-imposed barriers to me fulfilling that vocation. Just my 2 cents on an issue where Christians can differ on how best to serve our neighbor, but we cannot disagree on that we ought to be serving our neighbor.
Well, as we often say here, smartest listeners in radio, Of course, it is a both and. The government does have, by default, a certain responsibility because not all citizens will be Christians in the best of all possible worlds, where Christians realize that it is precisely in their various vocations that they're called to serve their neighbors, regardless of their income, but especially those who are indigent, those who are unable to work, those who are unable to care for themselves. We could greatly reduce the debt or the burden that the government bears, but since not all Christians, not all citizens are Christians, I should say, well, there's always going to be, by default, kind of a sharing of the burden there, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But yes, the answer for the Christian is found in rightly understanding his vocation and how that determines his relationship, his right relationship to his neighbor. When we realize that, then we see our neighbor's need and our vocation becomes the opportunity, a great opportunity, for us through our vocation to serve our neighbor in all of his needs.